Everyone can move up. Like, even the front row. Just move on up. All right, so tonight I'm going to share some stuff about 6th Street, and Saturday night I got the brainy idea to call some people up to see if they want to come help me, talk about some of the activities they are involved in, and later Mr. Darren's like, you know, that's really last minute. I said, well, the pressure's on, so they have to give me an answer right away. So some of the people are going to be talking about Tuesday night clubs, Thursday evenings, summer Bible school. And then two of the staff are going to share some stuff as well. But before we get into that, I'm going to share a little bit of the history. Now, some of the history I just found out myself. I didn't know all of it. But in 1988, there was a guy actually going down as a distributor from Good Store to Philly. And he was, I guess over his lunch break or whatever, he would go around and talk to the homeless. And one of the homeless guy became a Christian through this. So this guy's like, well, I should start a Bible study or something. So he got another guy to come down, and they looked around the area to find a building. And they used a rec center. And some guy on the street said it's his building. They could pay him rent. And I think a couple months later, they found out it wasn't even this guy's building. They don't even know how he got a key. And so they're paying this guy money that they didn't even know, yeah, who he was. And then they got some more people going down and involved. And then some people was like, well, we should at least buy a building for down there. So then on 6th Street, they decided to build a buy one of the houses there. As the first house was actually, we call it the social house. And that's where we used to have all the meals and stuff like that. And now it just got remodeled. So we're actually not using that right now. And Dave and Cindy Weber lived there. And there was no church. They would just go to the local churches around the community and to kind of be involved there. And then about every 6 weeks, they would come out to Lancaster to just visit with family, go to church up here and stuff like that about every 6 weeks. In 1995 is when they actually held their first church service in the city and started to do, there's more adults coming out. So they decided to start doing Tuesday night. And Tuesday night actually started with adults, not kids, and then it grew so big that some children started coming, and they decided to start it. And now it's pretty much from kindergarten to eighth grade right now, Tuesday night, and Thursday nights of youth. So right now at the mission, it's Brennan and Andrea Weaver. They're from Cherry Hill, and their daughter was in the hospital for about 5 months. So there was some work that was kind of getting left, and so that's part of the reason why Emma and I decided to move down to help out this summer. And they actually have a girl living with them right now, Allegra Shirk. And she's actually helping their daughter, who needs a lot of physical therapy because she was laid up in the hospital for 5 months. So I think they have to do a lot of like walking. She's on a lot of tubes and stuff like that. And they go to their doctors about once a week for checkup on her. And I know that they stay up every night with her. So they're like on a rotation that people are actually up while she's sleeping throughout the night. And then there's Jared Reif. He actually lives in an apartment above us on the third floor. And then Chris Lynn Schenck from Maryland. And so both of those are going to talk as well tonight. So I'm just going to turn it over to them. And each of the person going to share their different thing they're involved in. That way you get a different perspective.
Good evening. It's good to be here with y'all. I am helping out with the Tuesday night Bible study, so I'll give you a little bit of rundown of what happens on a typical Tuesday night, if there is anything like that. Also, for a little bit of introduction, if you don't know me, my name is Kenton Horst. My parents are Ken and Marlene. I know some of y'all, and I know your youth group was down in Haiti when I lived there, so I got to know some youths through that. Anyways, Tuesday night, approximately 15 youth meet in Denver. We pile into a van and head to Philly. We meet at 4:40, and we get down there anywhere from 6:15 to 6:30. So it is a little bit of a drive, especially on the Schuylkill. There's a lot of traffic, which is very frustrating. When we arrive there, we have a few minutes to set up our classrooms, get a little snack for the kids, and then at 6:40, we meet in the church. And one of the superintendents gives us some encouraging thoughts, Bible verses, etc. After this, we split into our prayer groups. We have prayer groups, and we have a couple minutes of prayer before we head out. Before we head out to pick up the kids. And we use walking routes. There is, I believe if I counted correctly, there's 6 different walking routes. And we head out into kind of different areas of the neighborhood there. My route goes to 10th Street, where we start to pick up kids up there. And we start heading back to the church, picking up children as we go. Routes typically have anywhere from 2 to 3 teachers per route. And I would say an average of how many kids come is maybe 8 to 10 kids per route. And that can vary. I've already had up to 20 on our route. This makes it very stressful to get them all back safely. We typically keep a route leader in front, and children are not allowed to go ahead of that. That can be a problem. They like to run out in the streets and things like that because they're so used to not. The kids don't really look when they're walking down there. They just kind of go ahead and walk and... So it kind of keeps our route together a little bit. And then we have a person in the back, and they're not supposed to lag behind that person. That's another big problem we have, is routes just dragging on and on. Walking routes, I really like the walking routes because it creates a time to learn to know the kids a little bit better and to build a relationship with them. As you're walking and talking with them. But it can also be one of the most stressful and hardest times between breaking up fights, actual fist fights, to chasing after a kid that decided to run off. And that can be kind of a big problem because you can't really do a whole lot other than follow them. They'll say they know the rules, and they know you're not really allowed to touch them if they tell you not to. So they say, don't touch me, don't touch me, you can't touch me. And so all you're really allowed to do is run after them and keep up with them. Which typically we'll call a superintendent. I've had it happen a couple of times so far since I've been teaching where a kid would try to run off. They don't really go far normally. A superintendent will come up and help. And we do have lanyards that hang on the children's necks that has their info, their parents' phone number, so we can call somebody if we need help. Once on route, I had a little boy. He's just a young guy. He pulled his shirt up over his head so he couldn't see where he's walking, and I turned around and here he was walking out in the street. It just really keeps you on your toes, and you got to be always watching these kids. Once we get to the church, we sing a couple songs and have a prayer, and then we split up into classes. Class is about 45 minutes, I would say. We have a snack, play some games. The younger kids would have some crafts. And snack, typically we just get that down there at the church. However, sometimes we have parents bring the snack for us, which is always greatly appreciated. If we do have a child misbehaving in class, oftentimes I like to try to take them out of class and try to talk to them, find out what's going on. A lot of times they will, if you spend enough time with them, they will tell you what's going on. It could be something with they hate their stepdad, or whatever it is that's going on at home, and that's why they're misbehaving. Almost every time it seems like there's a reason behind it why they're misbehaving. If we can't take the time where we have a rough class the way it is with the rest of them, we get the superintendents to take care of them, and they'll either take them home or decide what to do with them. One thing I do with our class is make a reward system for them on attendance and good behavior. And then if they can earn enough points, they can go to the country with us. I did it last year. We did an overnight trip to my place and went fishing, had campfires. You do things like swimming and stuff like that. And that is, I think, one of the best ways to create a relationship is when they see you not as a teacher form, but as a friend. if you can create that friendship with them, just get down their level and be a friend. They respect you in a new way. And yeah, those guys still talk about that trip we made. They just absolutely love that trip. Even though it seems so trivial to us, they don't forget it. And they it gives you another opportunity to just really spread the gospel to them. I have a quote here I'd like to read. I don't know the author of it, but it goes like this. No one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. They don't really care what we know. They don't care about us really until they know that we really do care about them. These kids don't know what love is, most of them. Most of them do come from terrible homes. A couple struggles from the teacher side of it. Coming up with good lessons is a struggle for me anyways, that the children can grasp. You can't just give any lesson out to them. You got to try to make it on their level, yet have a good lesson and something that keeps their attention. And just wisdom to know how to handle every situation. That every time, every night, it seems like you get hit with something new. And anytime you think you know how to handle kids, they hit you with something new that you're completely unready for. Some of the struggles for children, they come from broken homes. They have no father figure in their lives. Parents are on drugs, peer pressure. They have a lot of things going on in their lives. And that's, I think, why they act out a lot. I have one quick Bible verse yet, Matthew 19, starting at verse 13. Then they brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. So it was my experience with teaching at 6th Street has been very good. It's been a time of learning for me, and I really, really do enjoy it, even though there's a lot of trials. I think it's a great way to spread the gospel, and these kids take things home. We hear parents talking about things that the children, songs the children sing, things like that. So I'll turn it over to the next person. Thanks.
All right, good evening. I've just finished up doing Thursday nights. We have a group of three of us that meet to go down. Actually, how it started, Thursday nights is an extension of Tuesday nights. It's almost been running 2 years now. And Austin Weaver and Carlin Atkinson would have started it. They would have been the youth teachers, but a lot of times the youth guys class would get very out of control. And so they had the idea and the thought to start a separate night where they could have the building all to themselves and you wouldn't have to worry about a strict structure. So the point of Thursday nights would be a loose structure and not as much teaching as just being there and being a friend to hang out with them. And we would have a lesson along with that. But probably the main thing about it would be to give them a place where they can come hang out and, yeah, stay out of trouble for Thursday nights. And how a regular Thursday night would go, me and Austin and Sheena would meet at Colonial, same place, and we about 5 o'clock, get there at about 6:45 or so, and we'd have a few minutes of prayer beforehand, and then they usually show up. We don't go on routes or anything to pick them up. They have to come, and we basically just hang out. If it's in the winter, they have a pool table. We'd play a game called Sweat on the pool table. It's not a really complicated game. I don't really know how to explain it. And then they have an indoor basketball hoop, whatever. And summertime, we play knockout frisbee football or Baba Birdie or some game, whatever they want to. And at the end of every night, we have a little snack and a little bit of a lesson. So, that's pretty much how it goes. Usually we'll have, average night we'd have 5 guys come out. And also, just this past year, they started having girls' nights too. So, Sheena and Kelly Fox, Sheena Oberholzer and Kelly Fox would teach the girls. And then Tristan, me, Jared Reif, and Austin Weaver would hang out with the guys. And yeah, a normal night. And the girls, I can't say what all they do. I'm not in there at all. But they usually have, I don't know, 6 girls come out. And So that's Thursday nights in a nutshell.
You can see this, I'm not sure. My name is Dervin Martin, and I help out with Tuesday nights and also summer Bible school. I really enjoy Philadelphia. I've been going there since I was a baby. I was taken there with my parents, so it's kind of in my blood, and I really enjoy it there. I'm going to talk about summer Bible school, and I really do enjoy summer Bible school. It's basically taking Tuesday and Thursday nights and putting it into a 24/7 schedule for 2 weeks straight. And this year, we're going to be doing it from July 10 to July 21st, I think it's that Friday. So hopefully you can see this. I just threw a few pictures together today. Nothing too professional. Oh dear. Okay, let's just do it like this. So Summer Bible School is a 2-week event. And basically the reason for this is because we want to go out and share God's love with these children, with these youth. And we want to do it in the day and also in the evening. And not just that we're driving down from Lancaster, Lebanon area, and coming right back home in a few hours. So kind of stay down there, interact with them. Some of them have summer school, so they're not always available during the day. But then also in the evenings they come out during the week we have like a Bible study, just like Tuesday nights then. Excuse me. Okay, on the right-hand side there, it's kind of small, but some of the activities we do there during a summer Bible school, we start out with the teachers coming down on Monday having orientation, which basically means that we throw them together. They really don't always know each other, which is fun because we play all kinds of games that help them to know each other and how they're going to respond. The top left picture there, there's 2x4s, and they have strings on them, and there's 5 people. You grab a string, and I forget the actual name of the game, but then you have to walk. And the front people are blindfolded, and a person from their team has to tell them where to go. So the back people that are not blindfolded, they can't talk, though. So the only person that can talk, really, is the people that are blindfolded and the first person. So just a lot of group activities, which makes them think about, you know, how as they're teaching in the evenings, how are they going to respond to their children, that their students that are, you know, acting up. Or we play a game where we're in the game room, which is the top of the church. We do an obstacle course, and we blindfold the teachers, or one of the teachers, and the other teacher has to stand on the opposite side of the room and guide them to them. And so you have to really listen to your co-teacher's voice. And again, that's just teaching, you know, it was easy, you know, to get distracted. It's very distracting. A lot of these children in Philly have ADHD, and so they just, you know, very quickly, oh, what's over here, what's over there? And so you really need to focus. So just teaching our teachers some of those things too. And then, of course, we decorate the church for a theme. This year, we're doing the curriculum, God's Plan for You. Our curriculums, we have like a 7-year curriculum written by Margie East and Linnell. And basically, this one is about God's plan, what God wants for your life. He wants you to praise Him. He wants you to love Him, to worship Him. Anyway, so this is what we're doing, and we decorate the church then. There you can see the railroad, the road there, what time we did that. Some other things here, class time, there's some pictures there about class time. It's just like Tuesday nights, what we talked about. Have a lesson, have activities, crafts, snacks. Get to know the children, and then of course we really stress, you know, get to know your children outside of classroom. Take them to the park, take them, you know, get some water ice. Just go out, be with them. We also do different activities such as the backyard party. I always really loved the backyard party because it was kind of started because we thought, let's open up. The children always want to hang out. Like Kwa will probably mention or will testify to, is that the doorbell constantly rings. And so they always want to be, you know, they always want to be with you. And so, of course, this is a time where we can open up the backyard. We have different stations, like a ring toss. And it's kind of hard to see, but on the bottom right-hand side, there's a lady, actually, she's wearing a yellow shirt, and she's playing too. And then that's really fun to see their moms come or the grandmoms come and kind of get everybody involved. They're used to having block parties down there where they close off the street, so it's kind of the same idea, just in a more of a controlled setting. We have dart toss, which is always a little scary, but it works too. And we have like a kiddie pool, throw marbles in, and they have to use their feet to pick out the marbles in a minute, see how many can get who can get the most. There's a football toss. So yeah, just lots of different games. They're there. We also have made like their own ice cream, put it in a bag, throw it back and forth, and then they get to eat it. It's kind of disturbing in my opinion, but they love it. So yeah, just different things, just interacting with them. So that's always a fun, high priority on my list. I love backyard party. Another thing we do is the foot spa, where we go to Kensington, which is a high, yeah, there's many druggies there, and as we're there, you get offered drugs if you want some. Very easy to get. Anyway, and a lot of people as they sit down, we welcome them to come sit down. And this event is probably the most humbling thing I've done, where you kneel down and actually wash someone else's feet. And, you know, they might, you know, just like not pass out, but just kind of phase out. And then all of a sudden they come to it again. Anyway, try to hold a conversation. It's really hard, but it just really it's really humbling to do it. And I really encourage the teachers to do that. Why? Because, you know, Jesus did that. And we can be like him. And we also have groups to singing song. And the bottom left-hand picture is a really good example. It's kind of hard to see there, but there's a girl here talking to a lady. So having good conversations, washing feet, massaging shoulders, and just praying with people, it's a really good time. It's always a little stretching on my part, being in charge, but it's also stretching for the teachers getting out of their comfort zone. And that's really what Summer Bible School is in Philly, is letting teachers get outside of their comfort zone, let them, you know, be involved with the children's lives and also the lives of the community around church there. Thank you.
All right, good evening, everyone. My name is Jared Reif. I'm currently serving a one-year term at Sixth Street Mission. I am Kwa's literal next-door neighbor, so that's fun. I moved down there mostly because I was involved there a lot through like Summer Bible School, like Durbin was talking about, and Tuesday nights. And I got to know some of the kids, and I really liked to hang out with them, and I wanted to do more. There's a lot of needs. And so, yeah, a lot of what I do as far as mission work down there centers around hanging out with the children. One thing I do on a regular basis now that school is in session is pretty much every day of the week we have a homework club where the kids, there's a school that's directly across the street from the church. And so a lot of the kids we hang out with are from that school. And anyway, for the homework club, a lot of kids come from the school around 3 o'clock after they get dismissed. They come over to the church and we help them with their homework, give them a snack, hang out with them. That's usually from about 3 to 5 or 6 or something like that. And so, yeah, that's fun. It's really cool because a lot of these kids, yeah, they don't come from two-parent homes, many of them. And so if they have a mom or a dad or whatever, mostly it's their moms, they're usually really busy or working or they don't care. So it's a really good way to give to the kids and just help them in that way. It's really rewarding some of the time, especially when they appreciate it. They don't always appreciate your help, but it's fun. It's rewarding. That's going to go on till June 20th is when the kids get out of school. They go for school pretty long. After that, we're probably going to do a few other clubs, like just during the day. I think we have some ideas of what we want to do. I think I'll probably get into a thing of like a bike fixing class or something that teaches kids to fix their own bikes. They all have bikes and they bike around a lot. And just sort of maybe like a shop class type deal. Again, a lot of these kids don't have dads, so they don't have people to teach them that type of thing. So it's a pretty big need for that. Another thing I do a lot of is fix bikes. Sixth Street Mission has always been kind of known to be the place where you can get your bike fixed for free, get your tire patched or whatever. Nothing too major usually, but mostly it's just tire patching. That's a cool way for me to hang out with the kids and to get to know them. It's just kind of chill, just hang out on the steps and fix their bikes with them. So that's a lot of fun as well. A few other things I do. Every Friday, pretty much every Friday, we have a church from Lancaster here or Lebanon County scheduled to come down and hand out tracts. Every Friday morning, usually there's a group that comes down and we go out to usually it's two different places in Philly. Either we go to Center City and hand out tracts or down to Kensington, like Durbin was talking a little bit about Kensington. It's, like you said, it's a pretty rough section of town, so it's can be eye-opening for some people. They're not really used to seeing some of that stuff. But it's good for people, and it's a good way to talk to people, start conversations and stuff like that. So I enjoy that as well. Sometimes I try and go on a weekly basis. I try and go to a place called Sunday Breakfast. It's a homeless shelter, and basically all I do is serve a meal from 11:30 to 1 o'clock or something. Just help serve a meal. This is another way I like to get involved in the community, and it's fun. Get to know some of the homeless guys down there. And other than that, I pretty much do maintenance work, taking care of the vehicles, projects that need to be done. I think somebody else mentioned that there was a big renovation that happened this past year. I wasn't involved in much of that, but I did help out with some of the odds and ends at the end of that project. Yeah, that's pretty much what I do. If you think about it, you can pray for us as we do our work out in the city. There's a lot of needs, especially think of the children, just the fact that they don't have, many of them come from very, very bad situations. Just the fact that they don't have two-parent households is bad enough, but then some of them come from abusive situations, and it's usually not very good. So if you think about it, pray for us. Just pray for sanity as we work with the kids over summer. We haven't experienced it a whole lot, but I think over the summer it could get a little crazy. I think Durbin mentioned the fact that your doorbell's ringing all the time. So it's fun, but it can get very exhausting sometimes. But yeah, I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. So if you think about it, you can pray for us. Thank you.
Lynn Shank, and I am also working there at 6th Street. I help out on Tuesday nights teaching kindergarten and help Jared with the homework club that we do most days of the week. The majority of what I do, though, I feel like is I work with the kids a lot, but I also do a lot of things outside of the mission. I work at a food pantry that's within walking distance of the mission on Thursday evenings from 3 o'clock to about 7 o'clock. We service only so many families. We only have a budget for so much. It's run by a Catholic organization. And so these people sign up to be able to come in. They have appointments to come in. They get so much food. And we take them around shopping so that they get X number of items out of this category and out of this category. The pantry is more geared for healthier food. A lot of the food pantries kind of just get whatever's donated to them, so they end up with a lot of pork and beans and macaroni and cheese and that kind of thing, which if you're starving, that's something to eat. But if you look at the obesity problem in the United States, pork and beans and mac and cheese and tasty cake is not really a balanced diet. So we're kind of making healthier food accessible to people with lower income because things like fresh vegetables, fresh fruit, are a lot more expensive than a 50-cent bag of Cheetos. So that's on Thursday. I also work usually two morning afternoons, whatever you want to call it, at St. Christopher's Hospital for Children, volunteering with their cuddling program. What that amounts to is there's a lot of kids that are in the hospital for an extended period of time, and their parents either aren't allowed to come in and visit them because maybe they have an addiction problem or they're criminal or something, and they're not allowed to come in and be with their kid. Or sometimes the child's just been in there for so long, the parent kind of loses interest. And so those of us involved in the cuddling program, our job is to go in, hold these kids, give them some personal interaction time so that they're not just lying there in bed. And this is anywhere from 1 month old to playing games with 10-year-olds, stuff like that. So that's another thing I do. I also work with Rock Ministries, which is a church, a Calvary Chapel church in Kensington. And first Saturday of every month, we go out and walk the streets and talk to these people, like the drug addicts and things like that, and invite them back. They have a coffee shop type thing. It's basically a room where they open it up a couple days out of the month, and they have the women, whoever, come in and do Bible studies with them. They serve them food, coffee, whatever. So the first Saturday of the month, we go out, we walk around the street, talk to these people, hand out tracts, invite them back in, and then sit down with these people and talk to them about their life, about, listen to them. Some of them, like I think Durbin was saying, they're fading out on you. They're either on a high, coming off of a high, or really need to get high. And a lot of people, whenever we think of drug addicts, we think of people who kind of, they chose that, okay? That's their lifestyle, they're choosing to get high, they just need to get over it. And what we don't understand so many times is the background of it. A lot of these drug addicts start using drugs whenever they're 12. And a lot of that is because of home situations that they're dealing with. Maybe their dad is an alcoholic and their mom is a prostitute, maybe. So how does a 12-year-old kid deal with that? I mean, you're out on the streets and somebody offers you something to get rid of that pain inside of you, you're going to take it. And so a lot of these kids end up addicted at a very young age, and then each subsequent dose is not to get high again. They refer to this as chasing the ghost. And so your first high, you truly get high. But each subsequent dose, you get less and less high. You're just trying to get back to that first feeling, okay? And so they can't. So they keep trying to take stronger and stronger. And that's why a lot of times whenever you hear about drug overdoses, what's happening is that this heroin is the most prominent one in Kensington that they're selling. And this will get laced with fentanyl, which is extremely strong. They call it elephant tranquilizer. If that gets mixed with heroin, what happens is that they take the same dose of his heroin and they don't realize it has the stronger stuff in it. And so they're taking the same amount as usual and it can kill them. And what happens then is whenever there is a drug overdose, there's actually more drug sales in that area, because people want the stronger stuff. They want to get higher. They want to go back to the original thing. So you sit and you listen to these stories, you hear about people who were sold for a dollar as a baby because their mom needed a $5 drug fix. These stories are real, and these are real people that are hurting. They're not just the druggie on the street. These are real people and they've got real hurts. And so it's hard to sit there and try to talk to somebody that's passing out on you, that has, you know, open sores on them. They get, these people are, whenever they're really, really addicted, they got a lot of sores on them. They're not nice people to be with, but they need you, and they need Jesus Christ. The other thing that I do that I'm probably very equally passionate about and that I did not expect to do whenever I got up to Philly, but through a very roundabout way, I got into teaching English as a second language, also in Kensington. Kensington has a very high percentage of Puerto Rican and Dominicans. All of them have Spanish as their first language. And I've really begun to enjoy the Caribbean Spanish culture. It's a very vibrant culture, a very expressive culture. And whenever you teach these people, you have to do the same. I'm not going to teach you guys the way I teach them, because you would turn red for me. but it's very, very fulfilling to be able to have this class. The Caribbean culture is more about we, okay? It's not about you and you and you, it's us, okay? And they're very much family, and they also have a very high respect for teachers. And like American kids, you put them in a classroom and it's kind of like, you know, the stupid teacher, you know, and it's a authority figure that they resist. Whereas for the Puerto Rican and Dominican culture, instructors are considered somebody that you admire, and they really respect me for coming in and, you know, teaching them. And so we have a very good relationship. These are adults. And so a lot of these are old enough to be my parents or my grandparents. But we have a lot of fun together. Those of you who are in high school and you're trying to study Spanish and you think you're never going to use this, please study Spanish. Because I use every little bit of Spanish that I have. I'm not one of these ESL teachers that thinks that you should only go and speak English. Because if I can come into them and say, look, you guys are trying hard to speak English and you're going to sound funny, and that's okay. Look, this is how it sounds when I speak Spanish, okay? Then they sit there and they laugh at me. And then instantly we have this common platform. I don't speak your language well, you don't speak mine well, but we're gonna learn together, okay? And so we have a lot of fun. I really enjoy that. I highly encourage it. The city of Philadelphia will train you for free to be an ESL teacher, which is a really good deal. When you consider that the average ESL class, I don't know what you pay Durbin, but it's anywhere from 300 to 2,500, something like that. For ESL training. So sign up with the City of Philadelphia, teach ESL. I'm very, very passionate about that because that is a tremendous opportunity. We can stand around and we can say, that person sounds funny, why don't they speak English? But until we're really willing to step in and be part of the solution instead of part of the problem, you know, we really don't have any room to talk. So keep learning Spanish, and I'll see you in Philadelphia sometime teaching ESL.
To wrap up the summer, one of my favorite activities we do is camp, which includes one bus driver, 40 kids, 16 counselors, 4 assistants, 1 nurse, 4 directors, 9 cooks, and 2 camp pastors. Hop on a bus and go to Camp Andrews. We always tell people, you don't experience camp until you experience the bus ride. It's loud, it's obnoxious, unless we can get everyone into singing, then that helps. But it's a lot of fun. The purpose of camp was to bring a bunch of the kids out of the city and just get to know them differently. Years ago, they used to do boys and girls separate, and now we do it together. But only activities we have together is evening chapel stuff and meals, but we don't really do any other activities together. This year, I'm not actually sure the title of our theme, but each day we're going to have a devotional, and the first day is on the book. On why the Bible is true, because a lot of people don't realize that the Bible is true. They hear so many people telling them that their religion is true, especially in Philly. There's a lot of different religions there. Then the second one is the truth, and explain to the children that there is truth in the Bible. These people face a lot of things that you face today. And then the third day is going to be on the base, which is going back to creation. And this year they're going to be talking about why God created Adam and Eve, especially with everything that's happening in this world. And then God cares for each of us. And then the last days, the devotion is going to be on getting excited about the Bible. Just to wrap up with camp, my favorite thing we did at camp was called the Coon Hunt. I was introduced to that 3 or 4 years ago, and I'll just explain how it works. So the one night at supper, one counselor from each group was told to meet at a certain place. Just leave your group and meet here. And some people dressed up as false prophets. Some people were true prophets. Some people were animals. Everyone else had their own, all the other counselors with the rest of the group. And you're supposed to go around a scavenger hunt and collect all your balloons to the final destination. I think the last thing was like ice cream or something. But you need to stay with your group. Like, you couldn't get so far away from your group. And if you were so far away, the animals can get you. So the people were dressed up as animals, and they got you, and then they had a holding cell. And then you can ask the different prophets. But you didn't know which one was true and which one was telling a lie. And if you got away from your group, if you were too far away from your group, someone grabbed you, you're supposed to go with them. And you're done. You're out of the group, pretty much. Not always they gave you back. Sometimes they let you go back. Sometimes they made you dress up as an animal, and you're now an animal, and got to go try and get everyone else. And I think at the end, whatever cabin was left with all their people got a prize. And the whole purpose was this, was to show the children that this is how life is. You're going to have people out there that's fake. That's not telling you the truth. You're going to have people out there that's going to be encouraging you. And it's going to be people that's trying to get you involved in bad things and things you're not supposed to be involved in. But if you stay close to the shepherd, and which was your counsel was represented as the shepherd, you know, you'll be fine. You'll get through it. And then at the end, it'll be a great reward. And I think that was my favorite one activity because it really spoke to the children. Some of the children actually cried because later when we talked to them about it, about why we did this, they realized that, you know, that's actually how life is. So camp is coming up. Registrations are going to be starting. And if you would like to help, there's some papers in the back I set back there to help sponsor a child. It's $60 a child to go. They have to pay $20. Some children actually cannot afford it. So one thing that we'll offer is to come over to church and help maybe wash vehicles, sweep them out, clean the church building, or whatever we can come up with so that they can come to camp. They have to fill a bunch of paperwork out and stuff like that. So if you want to help support, there's some papers in the back you just fill out and just mail in. And then you'll get updates. You'll get a child, they'll say. So you'll get a card probably back that says you're sponsoring this specific child. And sometime throughout the week, they'll mail you a letter about how their camp week is going. You're also welcome to come visit. But we do have a new rule from camp that you have to give a 24-hour notice before you come to visit for safety reasons. But pretty much in closing here, Tuesday night, we found out that some of the boys that used to come around are in juvenile detention center. And these boys I had when they were in fourth grade. And so two of them are brothers and one is their cousin. So they're all in juvenile detention center. And so right away that night, I said to my wife, I'm gonna look to find out where they're at and go visit them. So I found out where they're at, which all I had to do was Google their names and it comes up. And I called the place the very next morning and they said I have to get their parental consent. So their parents have to give me permission to go. So I started with their mom. Well, she didn't have parental consent. She don't have legal guardianship of them. She thought someone else did, so she gave me a phone number to call someone else. So I called. No, this person didn't have it either. So they gave me someone else's number, which was his dad. So I decided on Thursday night I'm going to walk around to his dad's house and talk to his dad. So I walked through the park and went over to his dad's house and talked to him, for like maybe 25 minutes, half an hour. And he told me I can go visit him. He put my name on the list to go visit. I haven't gone yet. And I was thinking through as I was walking, processing this all, that this child is only 14 years old and he got caught up in, I actually don't know everything he got caught up in, but he got caught up in trouble. And he's now here for at least 6 months, unless maybe he behaves well and get out early, or if the opposite, if not, he will have to stay in longer. And one of the boys there I was talking to the other day, who was really good friends with them, was saying, I said, is this hard for you? He's like, yeah. He's like, that was his friends. Like, all three of those was his friends. And I said to him, I said, Kareem, you have a choice, just like they have choices. And, you know, you chose to do what's right, and they chose differently. And for him, that was still hard for him to accept because that's his friends. And I don't get the peer pressure as he gets with, you know, being cool or being with them or whatever the case is. And so I'm hoping to take him there, too, so he can see for himself what it's like. And so with that, yeah, you could just pray for that situation because I'm not sure what's going to come out of it. I am looking forward to going to visit the boys maybe within the next week or so. But yeah, that's pretty much all I had. Feel free to come to visit. Like Durbin said earlier, the doorbell rings consistently. The other night, we were trying to have supper, and I think we went up to the kitchen. Oh, no, the doorbell rang probably like four or five times. So finally, I turned the bell off. And I said, we're not going to bother while we're eating. So then finally turned it back on, actually, the next night because I forgot about it. So there's always stuff to do, giving kids cups of water, fresh fruit, cookies, or whatever. But yeah, that's pretty much all I had, and thanks for your attention.